that is the end of my report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I was wondering about, let's see, maybe I missed it. Dates for wages are what?
I didn't say those dates. Carlos, is...
June 25th through July 29th. Starts on Sunday and ends on Friday, Saturday, actually.
June 25th through July 29th?
Correct.
Yeah, and then, so then PI is...
At the same time, it's the 25th to the 27th, is that right?
Right.
And...
So it's pretty much the same time?
23rd, I'm sorry, 23rd through the 27th, yes. It will be happening during the time, and we planned it that way. There will be opportunity for the PI kids to interact with the wages students. I think it'll be something really good.
Okay, and I also wanted to find out about the, there was, one of the things that you talked about concerning, well, that you didn't talk about, I guess, concerning the staff changes. We had received the email about the apartment supervisor, resource person, you know, that was closed, and then it was, somebody was hired temporarily and all of that, and I'm very confused about that.
I beg your pardon. I didn't make a note of that on my staff update, and I'm really sorry. I apologize. Our apartment resource counselor did resign, and we've looked at how much turnover we've had in that position, and we've looked at, you know, the people that we've had. We've ended up with a number of individuals in the job who have master's degrees, who have, you know, a lot of qualifications, and that particular job being a lot of evenings, being a lot of activity type of things, some of it even being helping the person clean the apartment when they leave, I mean, some really kind of basic stuff. We believe we've had too much turnover because that job is really different from the other counseling jobs, and that we should not keep opening it as the same position, because then we had a lot of good applicants, and we just are afraid that by doing it that way, we end up with people who take the job as a stopgap till they get what they really want to be doing. And as we really looked at the duties of that job, the majority of it is not the kind of intensive counseling and training that the home teachers and rehab counselors do. And so we decided to go through a process with the personnel system has a PDQ, a position description questionnaire, which is lengthy and helps you to really identify exactly what the job does. Then we send that to the people in personnel who have expertise about the various state classifications of jobs. And then they can determine, okay, this is a particular classification. So in other words, we're creating a new position. And we feel that we'll be able to get people who still are well qualified for that and who really want to be doing that particular job. And we hope that will cut down on the turnover. I'll ask Batoche if there's anything she should mention that I didn't really say in that.
No, the only thing that I would add is that we made the decision after we got the application. The top 4 or 5 people that we would interview had master's degrees, and I knew for a fact that they would stay, in the job. And I think when we look at the, really break down the job duties, we decided that it would be probably the high school, the minimum high school graduation and maximum college and associate level degree.
We did check through personnel. Fatosh worked with Dave Robinson, our HR person. They discussed the whole thing. We're maybe not giving you every piece of it. There may be pieces we're not saying and trying to, you know, summarize the whole thing. But they checked thoroughly to make sure that this was a process that was legal and, you know, we didn't want to be doing anything that would cause more delay to filling the position.
May I add one more thing?
Please.
And you mentioned something about hiring a temporary position guard. That is correct, because if we didn't, I would have done that job, and I've done it for 18 months. When we didn't have an apartment resource counselor, I feel like I couldn't do it right now. Physically, I can't do it anymore. Three jobs, you know. So the best solution we come up with is to hire somebody that is a Central graduate, which is a very recent Central graduate, that I don't have to train, because the person knows kind of what the traditions and what to do and how to do it with blind skills. So that's the argument.
Thank you, Fatosh. Did that fully answer the question?
I guess one of the things that I wonder about is if we're talking about someone who doesn't need to have a master's degree or that kind of thing, that's one thing. But I think in a lot of ways, whoever is in that position really has a big job in the sense of doing, responding to whatever people are having happen when they're not in the center itself. I think that person's approach to blindness, that person's counseling skills and so forth, I think are really tremendously important, because that's the person who's going to get the informal responding, and you know, when people are
yeah, let me speak to that. I could not agree more. They definitely need to have blindness understanding, expertise. They need to be a person who, you know, really either lives it or and gets it about blindness. And so yes, that's definitely a part of it. When I'm talking about, they don't need to do the vocational counseling, career exploration kinds of things that the federal voc rehab system wants us to require the rehab counselors to do. And that's where more education kind of comes in. But in fact, this is one where it's even more important that they're a good role model, they understand, they know how to do things, you know. So definitely, we actually think that these changes in how the position is defined will help us to get the person you're talking about.
Yeah, may I add something to that? And I totally agree with Pearl. You know, we got 16 applications. In order for me to give a chance to blind applicants, I needed to interview 14 of them. You know, so with the job open job description right now, with the education requirements we have and the experience we are seeking for, really we are not getting applicants, and I don't think that it will be, for any job you cannot just interview 14 people. I mean, but if we just did the top 4 or 5, it wouldn't be the selection of people that we want.
I'm not sure I understand that. In other words, the blind people who applied qualification-wise would have been number 13 or 14 or something of the applicants?
Mm-hmm. From the applicant pool we have.
Because of their educational status?
Well, not only that, but I mean, I had people apply for master's degree that worked in rehab for 15 years. And, you know, our blind applicants either they have education and no work experience, or no education and very little work experience in the lab.
This is Val, if I can try and clarify. The way the job description was written, Fatosh and Dave asked to see all applications. And so ones that qualified were included, and also the ones that didn't meet the qualifications, mm-hmm. but they wanted to see all the apps.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
That's why when they were rating the applications, the people with the education did not have blind skills. The people that did not meet the minimum qualifications under the current job description were the ones that could not be considered because they didn't meet the qualifications. That's why they decided to reclassify the position, lower the education, and pull in the duties that you came up with new duties for the position, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, having it really be much more specific to what the person needs to do.
But once that was done, then the people who had applied, who had the blindness skills and so forth, would have been, would have been qualified at that point. I guess the part
of
it that...
let me stop, because that isn't quite true, because we don't have that position yet. What we saw is that the way the position was described before was really not accurate to what that job does, what the person in that job does. We had a lot of turnover because it really wasn't a good match. And so we've closed that position. We don't just get to go to the other people that fit what we're thinking of. So we had to close that position, create a new position, which is not, that's in process yet. Then when we open that, definitely we would encourage people to apply who are interested in it with the new description and classification.
But in the interim, I guess the part that is confusing to me, whether it's legal or not, it's confusing to me, is that when in the interim period, when it's a temporary position that in effect can have the qualifications that you're looking for, be tailored to a specific person that would count everybody else out or whatever, then the people who applied for the initial position could be counted out because of a really subjective thing. I mean, there wasn't, as I understand it, there wasn't then an interview process for the temporary
position. Right. We have a number of times needed a person to teach cane travel for a temporary basis, needed someone to teach JAWS instruction, needed someone to do a particular something short term and when needed, that we have felt that we know the person that can do that. We know who they are, we know where they live, and we know they might possibly want to do this for us. And so we have been able to go to that person and say, will you contract with us for this particular temporary job? And so yes, we did identify, as Fatosh said, a recent graduate who, she had faith in and knew, were there other people in the community that could be doing this temporary job? Yes, probably. But we needed to put someone, to get going with it. And so no, we don't have to go through that whole interview process if we if we are doing it in a certain way.
So when the position is revamped and open, presumably like at the end of June or the beginning of July or whatever, I mean, how long can that temporary job be extended?
I don't know how long it can be extended, but our goal is to get somebody in the position that's permanent. So as soon as it goes through the process to be approved by state personnel, we will definitely open it again and look to fill, you know, within a good reasonable time. I guess I want to, a second ago you said about the job being redefined in a way to meet the person, the skills of the person we wanted to put in there. You said something sort of like that, and that really is not the case. We looked at what is it that job, what do we need the person in that job to do? And Fatosh and Dave spent a lot of hours making sure that the job description really does reflect what it is we need that person to do. We did not, you know, write it to match somebody we like.
Fatosh, and this is Daryl. Bob and I were visiting with Fatosh at the center when we did our center tour before the staff meeting, and we talked a lot in depth about this, and this all sounds, you know, really good. The only question I have for Fatosh or Pearl, I'm not sure who, obviously, with a lesser degree, you know, associate or bachelor's or whatever, you know, could be some savings in salary. The question I have, will the incentives be enough to keep people in this position? Because if they're too low, you know, you still won't keep people.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, the good part about that is that we don't have to figure it out. State personnel, that's not to say it'll pay enough, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't argue that about any of the state jobs.
Right.
But they certainly know within the state system, you know, what other classifications have similar kinds of duties, similar kinds of shift issues. This person doesn't have a regular 8-to-5, so sometimes that shoots the pay level higher.
Right.
And yet balanced with, you know, what are the responsibilities. As far as emergencies that happen or problems that happen, that come up, those end up being Fatosh dealing with anyway.
Okay.
That person doesn't have to be the one that, you know, does those things.
I'm on call 24 hours 7 days. I mean, even when we have a full-time person there, I got the calls.
Right.
You know, I just know that, you know, in school, in public schools, we go through paras faster than kids wear out socks.
I know. And, you know, I know. It's a little scary, but
you don't want
we're hoping that the state personnel will do the math to combine those somewhat less professional, although I hate that.
Right,
because
it's still,
somewhat less professional level of obligations with the somewhat less happy scheduling. So they will come up with something that, at least in terms of state government, does fit for that job.
I know it can work because I've seen some very capable, you know, when I worked wages a year, you know, very capable college students who really were very adept at working with the students. If you find the right match and the right salary and things, I think it could work.
I need to leave. I'm sorry, Pearl, to get the food.
Okay.
Is there any more questions before I leave about the topic?
Sure, question, Bob.
It's not the different opportunities.
We can always extend, but we had the SOS Embraer job, and it's going to be closed June 28th. So we're hoping to open the position and do the interview and hire somebody before the end of June. And I'm going on vacation at the end of August, so I'm really anxious to start with it, train that, get ready.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay, thank you. Bob, did you have anything else?
Not on this, but just, and it's probably beyond the for this conversation, but something for You know, last year when, you know, staff positions were eliminated, you know, the workload, you know, especially the Voc-Re workload of, you know, different counselors around the state, you know, deciding which, you know, which offices to remove, you know, staff. And I just wondered, you know, where we're at now as far as, and maybe it's something to have a broader conversation on, you know, at the next staff meeting, but just looking at the workload of the different, you know, Voc-Re have counselors, you know, the different state or the different offices around the state, or we, you know, we kind of made some, or had some basis last year when we eliminated some positions, but you know, where is it all sorting out, and are the, you know, the voc rehab counselor positions where the voc rehab clients are, or, you know, how that's all worked itself out?
Yeah, things are pretty much the same. I mean, we cut some staff in the area where we knew caseloads were really lower. They haven't been any big changes in the size of the caseloads there, or let's say in Omaha, smaller caseloads, or, you know, that the basic factors we took into consideration are pretty consistent with where they were last summer. We could certainly do a more detailed report to provide to you, but I know that we've been in touch and communication with the supervisors, and in looking at the data that Dottie puts together for us each month, reviewing those, and things are going pretty well. The North Platte district has been able to manage to see the people they need to see, even with the fewer staff members. So I would say basically it's working pretty well. With the additional funds given us in the budget deficit request, we did issue a statement to offices to go ahead and get out into the field more, not to have the kind of constraints we had put on driving that we had as a cost-saving measure, cut down on people's ability to get out in the field. And so that hasn't really been in place long enough to see how that will change things, either budget-wise or services-wise. But before too long, we'll be able to see that. We just don't have any results of that yet.
Okay. I mean, since obviously Voc Rehab is the primary objective, and the more, you know, to have enough, you know, if you know, and I don't know the numbers, I mean, if Omaha or Lincoln have, you know, 50 clients, and North Platte, Scotts Bluff, Voc Rehab have 12, I mean, obviously, you know, we got to get the, you know, the counselors with the clients, because that's how we get them, you know, through the system and employed, and mm-hmm. Social Security reimbursement and all the good stuff that happens.
You know, another piece of that is we never just look at actual numbers, because in the more rural areas, there are a lot of miles you have to cover. So one person in Omaha is not the same amount of time involvement as one person in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So we do definitely consider that in what we're looking at. And also, both Lincoln and Omaha offices do cover some of their area, can be a two-hour drive to get to a client. So even within the urban areas, there's some of that. But we definitely pull that into consideration.
Yeah, I just wondered, you know, after the budget, you know, after the changes last year, I just wondered how it was all working. And obviously, we got 100,000 more for next time. I don't know if that's enough to hire a rehab counselor or two or not.
Well, that's what I'm definitely going to be looking at with the administrative staff to determine. We don't want to quick hire somebody and end up with a problem in the future. But we also don't want to be so nervous about spending the money, you know. So So I think the first step is getting people in the vehicles and out into the field more, having some of these programs that we talked about that we had been worried that we would have to not hold. And, you know, then looking to see if, I would certainly think that we could add a staff person back. We'd want to, at least, but we'd want to really make sure we're doing it in a wise way with all the information.
Sure. Well, if you could, like I said, it's, you know, it's enough of my question now, but if you'd be interested, you know, for the next meeting to get a more detailed report as to, you know, how the workload is, you know, appropriated across the state, and just to take a look at it again.
I have kind of a loaded question, and I'm not meaning to put you on the spot because I don't have the answers myself, but I know, you know, Voc Rehab has said, you know, with their clients, when I took my transition class last summer, that they've got to, you know, with funds and so forth, they've had to prioritize and take the younger crowd. And, you know, we're unique in the respect that we have a so much older population that we're serving. And I'm sensing as commissioner, there's some unhappiness among the elderly blind as to, you know, how we're serving them, you know, because of cuts and so forth, which I understand had to be made. You know, what is, does the future look like in this area? What can I do to, what can we as commissioners do to reassure those people? You know, I do feel that there's a sense of frustration among some of the elderly.
Yeah, that's a really important topic. One thing I'll tell you that maybe people don't know or they forget is that of our independent living clients, 85% and up is people who are in the older population.
Okay.
Of our vocational rehabilitation clients, I know it's the majority of the clients are older. I can't remember the number. Do you know, Carlos or Bob, what the percentage is? It closer to 50% of?
I would say 50%.
Okay, so let's say 50% of. And that's a little over that, but of the vocational rehabilitation clients are older individuals.
Okay.
Now, the feds define older as 55 plus, so of course a lot of those are people in their 50s and 60s who, you know, would have had to leave their jobs or maybe did already have to leave their job because their sight is getting worse. But there are also a lot of people in their 70s that we serve who are not ready to retire. They want to stay in the workforce, and you know, so, and they're losing sight because the vision loss goes with age. So yeah, that we, I think part of the issue is what are the services that a Voc Rehab agency can do, and we simply don't have the capability, the resources, either funding or staffing, that could truly provide every service that all the older visually impaired people in the state might want. You know, so should people look to the Voc Rehab Agency for all of those things? No, they shouldn't. That, I mean, that isn't what our charge is to do. So we've tried to do our best to, you know, be as efficient as possible in how resources are spent, but acknowledging, you know, I mean, even if all we did was peer support groups in the state, we couldn't do it adequately with 45 staff members. We couldn't do it. I spent a lot of years as a field counselor working primarily with older individuals who are blind. And, you know, every time I would go into a high-rise or a congregate living center to either meet with an individual or to talk about a support group, I would always, and I swear to you, I would always hear, there's, I know this many other people here who don't see very well, but they won't come to you, you know, they don't want to admit it. or I sure wish you could set up another support group here, because we need one here. You know, so how many of those places are there in the state? A lot. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't, we do take it seriously. We really work to do the best we can based on what our basic support will fund and our individuals who are blind fund will address.
You adequately answered the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Carlos. I guess in the future, what you can do is help us to persuade the legislators to get more money for senior blind or older blind.
Sure.
That's just one of the things we'll talk about.
There are some states that have, you know, a nice sum of funds from the state that is specifically for older blind.
Okay. Thank you, Pearl. We have, as usual, but I think that, you know, this is the kind of thing that we need to do in order for us to know what we're doing, or, you know, to be able to do what we're supposed to be doing. One thing I wanted to mention, and I did make sure during the break that it hasn't already been, Wes Majerus has brought the KNFB reader today. If people want to have a demonstration of it, we can decide now what part of the agenda we want that on. Do you want to have it at the end? Do you want to have it, you know, is there a certain, or do you want to have it at all, commissioners?
Why don't we, you know, after we get our lunch, I mean, it could kind of, you know, do it while people are, you know, we're spending a little bit of time eating. That might be a good use of the time.
Does that work for you, Wes?
That should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, it's now 11:54, and we're ready for the next period of public comment. Does anyone have comment from the public?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Bob Eaton.
Yes.
I'd like to address Darrell's concern about the older blind. I think some of the frustration you hear, Darrell, from some older consumers, particularly one concern that I think I heard at the state convention that you attended, was that the older blind are not represented on the board, and we're not hearing them. I think some of that frustration is not necessarily services, although that could be part of it, but I think more of it is that there's frustration because MIPS itself is not receiving more support or representation, okay?
Uh-huh.
Last year, we've been providing a grant to MIPS since 1987.
Right.
And last year that was discontinued. So this year was the first year that DIF had to continue self-funding from the state. And it's been a frustration since the commission was created that no one from DIF, from the DIF leadership, had a position on the board. And that, and that is the sore point for some of the people in that organization. Okay, so I think when you hear it, general statements about the lack of support to older blind consumers, I think what they're really directing the issue to is our relationship with this. Okay, that's my concern.
Okay, I think I sense that. So then I guess what the legislature can determine how the membership on the commission is set up. Is that right? Like
the statute would have to be changed.
So what if we have a statute that says you have to have NFB, ACB, VIPS, parents of blind children? I mean,
well,
could this get really?
Yes, it can, and that's one of the reasons that we didn't do that. And of course, also, at the time that the law was written and passed, VIPS, as an organization that was funded in a lot of ways by the commission, that is not then really a representative organization. I mean, it would be like the oil companies having something that they, an entity that they fund be on their board so that everybody can, you know, rubber stamp one another or whatever. I mean, it really wouldn't be representation in the sense that we understand it as someone who is in an organization that funds itself, that runs itself, that is made up of consumers, that you know, is then therefore partly a watchdog of the agency for the blind.
Of course, that has been changed since they're no longer funded. That there's no conflict of interest. So, if somebody from VIP, it says one mm-hmm. from the ACB, one from the NFB, possibly from another blind organization. So they're free to do it. They're free to
sure.
vote a candidate and try, mm-hmm. you know, get the support. But yeah, as you said, Darryl, you can't have somebody from every blindness organization in the state. You have to have a commission of about 25 people.
And I guess that's what, and I didn't mean to open up a can of worms, but I guess after I heard some of those comments, that's what kind of concerned me, because I thought, well, maybe, you know, really looking at everybody wanting to change the statutes all of a sudden. And
well, you know, when you talk about older blind, I mean, I'm almost 49 and I'm the youngest one on the board, so so we are the older blind. Yeah.
I was going to bring up that Nancy's 60th birthday is today, but I
exactly.
Yeah. We'll have to kick your kids off.
Yeah,
the truth is, the youth, all you know, younger blind
people could be
hey.
Really upset.
Yeah, yeah, Wes and Ryan,
yeah.
they
yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that, yeah.
Well, that's answered a lot of my questions. I appreciate that.
Thank you. There was another public comment.
Ryan?
Yes. Barbara, I want to thank you for bringing up the issue with the Department Resource Counselor. I want to preface what I'm about to say by saying that I'm not speaking on behalf of any organization or individual. I'm speaking as a blind consumer. I'm frankly troubled by what has transpired with the apartment resource application process and subsequent events. I did not apply for this job, but I was acquainted with three people that did. All three received incidental letters in the mail saying that the application, that the position had been closed with no interview. And I sit here today and listen to the explanations offered up by Pearl and Fatosh, and I find them unsatisfactory as a blind person who has sought employment and who probably will seek employment again. The reasons that I'm hearing come up like displays on a cash register when you push a button: you're overqualified, we're too busy to interview, we're recalibrating the job. How many people on the Board of Commissioners have heard those explanations before? How many have found them satisfactory? Because frankly, I don't. From my perspective, what it looks as if has happened is that heaven and earth was moved so that one specific person could get the job. If you want to talk about a person with a master's degree being overqualified, I can accept that. But two of the people I know who applied had bachelor's. They did not have master's. One person had a trade degree, from a trade school. And two of those three people that I mentioned were center graduates. So to hear that this was the list of qualifications that was suddenly drawn up, but yet there were no interviews, looks to me very suspicious. I draw an analogy with the parent and the child. The child growing up often hears from the parent, "I'm disappointed in you. You know better. I've taught you better than that." And then there always comes that point when the child reaches a certain age and they become disappointed in something the parent does because they discover the parent's fallible. The feeling I have now is akin to that. The commission, in many respects, certainly not as my family, but has acted as a parent, guiding blind people to a better philosophy, to a better way of thinking about blindness. I don't believe that that model has been followed here. When Governor Johans made this commission separate, he said he did it because it was the best way to promote the climate of excellence in blind people. But looking for this job, it doesn't appear to me that any competitive nature was added to find the best candidate. I'm not calling Pearl or Fatosh liars. I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Again, I'm only speaking as a consumer. I can't speak to what's gone on legally. I'm just simply not attuned to that. But morally, I think what happened sucks. As a blind person, dealing with an agency that tries to promote equality among blind people and to give every blind person an equal shot at employment. But again, this position is only temporary, and despite the fact that a person is being brought back from Arkansas, when there were people who applied right here in Lincoln and a neighboring state that I know of, it's only temporary. So having voiced my objections, I don't want to raise any more heck or rock the boat, but if certain things don't happen, if I don't think that there's any kind of fair play going on when this temporary job ends and the job comes open, I assure you that I will be back at the next commission board meeting and I will raise it again. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other comment from the public? Okay, our next item, I'm assuming that people will let us know when the lunch
no,
time
it's,
is.
No, it's here instead of, I think they probably are ready for us whenever we're at a stopping point.
Okay, well, we're ready for old business. It's now 12:04, and lunch was supposed to be at 12:30. So we're not.
I beg your pardon. I had told them at noon would be a good time to bring it over.
And that's okay. I mean that's all right because we can. I think we can just we can do that and then come back and start with old business.
Let me just
if that works for everybody.
Let me just
okay. All right.
Fatosh. Yes. Students, is the setup ready or do you need more time?
We need 2 more minutes.
Okay, so why don't we continue with the agenda?
Okay.
And when it actually is ready, they can let us.
All right. Sounds good to me. Okay, the first thing in old business is the budget update. So, Pearl, that would be.
Okay, things are going along quite well. I mentioned a little bit, we've eased up on some of the cost constraints that we had imposed before. Current expenditure rates are really pretty low, but that's because we've been trying to keep them low, you know. So I think in general, I would just say that we're doing well with keeping in line with the funds that we have. And there are, as I said, we will see in a month or two, I think, how some of the changes are impacting. I guess I should mention with the fact that we've loosened up the constraints about using vehicles and drivers and getting out into the field, we can't compute it quite as just putting back in what we had spent before because our costs for gas and vehicles have quadrupled. And so we aren't quite sure how to compute the thing. And as people start getting back into the field more quickly and more often, back to normal, we'll see what normal the expenditures won't be exactly what they had been. So we'll be seeing how that works. If you have any specific questions, I could probably answer, but that's really the overview.
Well, I think with looking at some of the materials that have been sent out over the last, you know, the last little while, we have, you know, we've reviewed that more than we might otherwise have. Does anybody have any questions about the budget?
No.
I'm just happy that, you know, it's a little bit, you know, going to be a little bit better because of the increase.
I was a little set back when they didn't allow the full $50,000. I thought sure the legislature would restore that because they always seem like they always come back and override a veto and involve. they didn't do it this year.
Yeah. Well, they kind of got a wrench thrown at the eastern end of the state with the school thing.
Yeah.
And that's a good point because $25,000 doesn't really go very far, you know, and so